the electric eels of Parramatta.
Mr. Perpetual Motion and Mr. Nice Guy, Michael Cronin, are held aloft. The siren has sounded and Parramatta has taken out their third premiership in a row. The Eels of Parramatta still rule supreme over the rugby league scene here in Sydney.
Well, a massive welcome to the Parramatta's podcast. Bernie and I have just finished watching the Tigers-Eels match. Of course, it was at CommBank Stadium. It was our 75th anniversary. All the stars were lined up. We had all the big legends from back in the day there watching. So naturally, we of course had to lose that one 21-20. Your thoughts, Bernie?
Well, the football gods have spoken, haven't they? I mean, if you get cocky, you get slapped down, especially being a Parramatta fan. And we should have seen it coming, but I don't know. It's very disappointing. I mean, our team is obviously more powerful than theirs, obviously more skillful, obviously fitter, and we get run down. So I don't know. It's there's so many scratch your head moments in the game, but when it came down to it, they just wanted it more. So they got it.
Yeah, I guess in hindsight, it's not a shock that we lose a game on Easter Monday when Parajesus hasn't returned. So
I think Parajesus could be to blame for this. He could be to... If he had turned up and he had blessed the ground with his presence, then we would have been good. But he didn't show, and neither did the players. So
Yeah, I mean, of all the days that Parajesus had to be resurrected, it was Easter Monday, and didn't turn up.
Didn't turn up, and neither did the players. Now, There was a lot in that game. Obviously, Tigers turned up to play. Madge was very much, his job's on the line. They did the old switcheroo. They did Luke Brooks changing to pivot and Jackson Hastings. He wanted to play halfback. He had a point to prove. He's a very good player. He is a very good player. And he led the team around and ended up winning the game for them with a field goal right in the dying seconds. But I still scratch my head with so many things that happened during the game. And there were some dodgy ref calls as well. But even that put into it, like the last few minutes, there's forward passes galore going on from the Tigers. There's a head high shot on Perham in the last 2 minutes. There's James Tamu just lying in the ruck in the last minute. I mean, there's so many times that they could have. But you can't even, I mean, we got the rubber, the green. We got more penalties than they did. We got more set restarts than them. So you can't even use that as an excuse. I mean, it was just, we needed to be clinical today. We needed to just come and stamp them in the first 20 minutes, remind them that they're sitting on the bottom of the table, remind them that they're like coming up for 6 losses in a row. And we didn't do any of that. We just, as usual, we played a team, a subpar team, into form. Now, they got plenty of strike power. They took Melbourne right to, you know, the end, and then they almost beat Melbourne. But Melbourne just started, you know, they just went back to their basics and they just ran over the top of them. And that's what we should have done. We're a much more powerful team. Don't know.
Well, let's talk about some of the good things. Early on, RCG had a lot of good runs. I thought that Moses had a good game. Obviously, he missed a few kicks once again. But other than that, He played really well. He once again made another break, which he did the week before. This time he managed not to pass it to an opposing player. So that was an improvement. I thought Simonson had a good game.
I thought Nia Corre did well
and Madison did well too. So there were things there to be proud of, but I do have to commend you once again on one of your predictions coming true, which is that you were worried about RCG getting injured because he's not getting a rest by BA. And sure enough, RCG picks up an ankle injury.
Yeah, now you can say that, you know, it wasn't a fatigue injury, but I think it was, because if he was at full strength and, you know, he was fully fresh, then maybe he wouldn't be dragging his ankles along like that and they can get trapped under people. But you could see it coming a mile away. He did it to Sean Lane. He just ran him into the ground. When I'm talking about him, I'm talking about BA. He ran RCG into the ground. And then why the hell he takes Reed Marnie off the field when there's like 10, 15 minutes to go in the game and he brings in Mitch Rein. And they asked him in the presser and he said, oh, well, we had Mitch Rein to come and we, you know, so it's good to bring on fresh legs. Good to bring on fresh legs. When has he ever thought, oh, it's good to bring on fresh legs? Like there's some weird shit going on here and I don't know what it is, but I'm wondering if it's got something to do with why Reed left the club anyway, because he's like, why? BA's done this a lot. He's only played Reed for 60 minutes. He's for some reason, he thinks Reed's a 60-minute player, but Sean Lane's an 80-minute player and RCG's a 70-minute player and Junior Paulo's a 70-minute player, but Reed, apparently, he's a 60-minute player. So why you take the backbone of the team out? I mean, I can't remember seeing, you know, Queensland taking Cameron Smith off when there's like 15 minutes to go and it's like, oh, we'll bring some fresh legs on. You don't.
Yeah.
You keep your hooker in there for the whole time. And sure enough, it was an absolute shit show with Moses trying to... You bring him back on with 1.5 minutes, throw him in there and, you know, say, okay, now we expect perfection. We expect the, you know, set up this field goal attempt and there was no forward running up. It was just an absolute shit show. So it was only little things, but, you know, we had a lot of errors and our defence was shit again. Like, they just keep running through the middle. Like, I don't know what's going on with our defence. It is absolutely shit. So... don't know. It's disappointing in a big way because you're like, you know, we've been saying since round one we have to improve our defense and we just haven't. And you can't win a grand final with shit defense. You just can't. So it's concerning.
It comes back to though, there's just too many head scratching moments. And I know we've covered this topic, but I mean, let's talk about Pennacini on the wing.
Yes.
So the thing about BA is you can't trust BA to make the right decision in a tight situation. This wasn't a tight situation. He had all week to make that decision and he made it.
Yeah.
And sure enough, early on, bombed a try straight away. So we had problems down that side because he's not a winger. It's not Pennacini's fault. He's playing out of position as Parramatta likes to do.
Exactly.
And again, I come back to this point that we have the horse, we don't have the jockey. That he just makes far too many head-scratching decisions. I mean, a few here and there you could totally get where, you know, you can start to backward map things and go, oh, wait a second, it turns out that Reed was injured. That's why he put that other player in there, just in case he could fill in for Reed. And so then it kind of makes sense. But there's just been too many of these baffling decisions over the years. And his poor bench rotation, which now has cost RCG, we don't know how long he's going to be out for. I keep saying it, mate. We can't win a grand final with BA. BA is, he gets us 8 out of 10. You know, he gets us to the finals. But when you go up against a team that's clinical, they just put us to the sword.
As you said, we've got the horse, but not the jockey. And next year, we're not going to have the horse either. So it's like, Simonson is... He did fantastic on his wing and his game's been getting better and better. Pennacini has only played a handful of games. He's still getting blooded as a centre. Why would you move him out of position and say, oh, okay, you've played a few games at centre. Here you go. Now play on the wing. When you've got Hayes Perham, who's perfectly capable of playing on the wing. Hayes would have been in position for that pass. He would have scored, and they scored 2 tries in that corner. Now, I don't know if Hayes would have stopped them or not. You can't predict that, but all I know is Pennacini was out of position for both of those. And you're not throwing him under the bus. I mean, it's not his bloody fault. He's only played a handful of games at centre. He's a centre. He's a brilliant centre, and he's going to be a brilliant centre, but I don't know. Why you wouldn't put Hayes Perham in that team? And I don't think anyone thought that Pennacini was actually going to start on the wing. I mean... All week we were saying, oh, well, surely you're going to rotate around. Murata will end up, you know, going back into the forwards. Murata had a brilliant game, but now he's injured as well. So it looks like he's going to be out for a while. He limped off the field. And Tom Opacek is injured as well. So he got a neck injury. So the 3 players we've lost, now we've got enough to cover that going forward. But, you know, it's warning signs.
Yeah, I mean, we've had it rough for the start of the season. That said, the Tigers got a couple of injuries, picked up a few today as well, but we just seem to have these big players going down. Of course, we get Junior Paulo back next week, which obviously is going to help. I'm not sure what happened with that scrum that we lost. That was ridiculous.
I'll tell you what happened with that scrum that we lost. Is Gutho was in the second row. And I actually said, as they're packing it, why the hell is Gutho in the second row? And they pushed us back. And a win against the feed is just, it's so poor. It is so poor in the modern game.
Yep.
And they were taking the piss by putting Gutho in the second row. They basically said to the Tigers, we're not going to push in this scrum at all. We've got our fullback in there. We've got a raid play set up. And they just went, well, no, we're going to push. And sure enough, Gutho can't push a bloody, you know, scrum back. So I said it as they were packing it. And I said it to Nick, and it was just, I said, why the hell is Gutho there? And sure enough, they tried to do it again later as well. Like, anyway, scratch the head. Oh, it's painful.
It was good to see Madge get a win and be a bit excited and actually get to experience a good mood for once in a while, because I personally think his players let him down more than he's not a good coach. I think, he's in a bit of a tough spot. And one of the good things I liked about, I was listening to it on KO, and the commentary team prior to the game were talking about, well, a lot of this blame you've got to actually shoulder to Tim Sheen. He was brought in to make some good decisions and to restructure everything, and nothing's really changed. So you can't just point that straight at Madge. So I like that they made those points.
Well, that pricks my ears, actually, because it's a very good point, because we've brought in Mary McGregor, and it's like I can't even see him in the box. I don't know what his role is in the team. We've brought in, you know, Mick Innes, who's supposed to be leading Reed and telling Reed kicked out on the full as well, going for a 40-20, and he's done that a couple of times. And look, I don't know. I don't know if BA's getting the support that he needs. I thought that bringing Mary McGregor in, I thought that would give him the support that he needed. As you said, we had a week to plan which winger we were going to use. And all week we decided, okay, Penasini, surely someone would step in and just go, well, how about this winger that we've got, Hayes Perham? You know, he can play wing. He actually plays it. And you don't stir the team up too much. And I don't know, mate.
There is something fundamentally flawed with his position selection, and there's something fundamentally flawed with his bench rotation. We can't ignore it. We literally have to acknowledge that this is the way that it is, and it's always going to be a problem for us. I don't see us getting to the grand final, let alone winning it. I really don't.
I don't think Hayes would have got on the field if Tom Opcek didn't get injured. I think he would have just sat him on the bench for the entire game. Now, he said that the thing that threw me is in the presser, he said, I brought on Mitch Rain for fresh legs. He's never, ever brought on fresh legs. He's only ever brought on someone when someone's got injured. He's quite happy to just play a full game only using 16 players. So he decides to take Reed off with the fresh leg argument and then bring him back on with 1.5 minutes to go. He brings Reed back on. Head scratcher. You know, we're going to get torn apart for bagging the coach. This is what happens. Generally, you get 50-50 split. I mean, 50% of the people are like, you know, coach, you know, really stuffed this one up. And the other 50 are like, oh, you should support him. Oh, how many first grade teams have you coached and you haven't coached this? It's just like, we've watched it and we keep watching it. It's the same mistake being made over and over. His bench rotations are rubbish. They're absolute rubbish. And the way that he is prepared to reshuffle the team and play people out of position when there's one injury is, it's mind-boggling. It's does my head in.
The Parramatta's podcast, because Parramatta fans matter.
I did like the little bit of back and forth between Gutho and Dane Laurie in that game. That was enjoyable. Dane obviously flattened Gutho and had a few words to say, and then Gutho stopped him scoring on the other wing, and he had a few words to say.
He gave him an absolute gobful, didn't he? Gutho was, I think he's he didn't like that he got Guthorino'd by the Titans a couple of weeks earlier, and he didn't respond to it. And I think he was like, well, he's starting to see me as an easy target. So he did it all with a smile on his face. I mean, Gutho's really an intimidating man, but you know, it was very good to see. And as you said, I don't mind so much losing to the Tigers, and I know that sounds ridiculous. I mean, I'd much rather, you know, beat the Storm than beat the Tigers. I mean, when you talk about 2 points being 2 points, it's not the
case. True,
yeah. So to lose to a struggling Tigers outfit the way that And they turned up to play, and they played like a champion team. It was good to see Madge have a bit of a smile and a bit of a laugh and at the end of the game and in the box. I mean, you don't want to see, you know, people downtrodden like that in this game. I mean, you know, it's and Luke Brooks as well. I mean, Luke Brooks had a brilliant game. He was everywhere, and they switched him to six. So they stripped him of his, you know, seven jersey, and he just took it on the chin, and he just, you know, had a brilliant game. So you don't mind so much losing. It's just you look down into the future and you're like, you know, in 10 weeks time when we need to get a win, are we going to turn up and do this all over again? I mean, where's the clinical Eels performance for 80 minutes, just turning up and just grinding and then being flashy? I mean, we were trying to be flash from the first few passes, so I don't know.
Mate, I've got a bit of a theory, because I think Moses is playing really well, is that I was a bit concerned early in the game, actually pre-game, when I saw that Gutho didn't have any tape on his legs. Because I think taped up Gutho is like $6 million man Gutho.
Yeah.
And then I saw Moses out there once again, and he's got his quad taped. So I think only one player is allowed the magic tape, and that one player at the moment is Moses, and that's why he's playing so well, is because of the magic tape around his quad.
Did he have his big pad on? I don't think Moses had his... He did.
Yeah, okay, well, unless he only had it for a certain portion of the game, but yeah, I definitely saw it.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting theory. So you're saying that he's stolen the King's mojo is what he's done, so...
Yeah, or the King gave it up willingly.
Yes. Well, it's a sacrifice that the King might have needed to make, because we need a number seven firing, and Moses is definitely firing. Dillbags had another cracker. I mean, he split him again, and defensively he was brilliant. It's a weird one to dissect, because you just go through the whole team and most of the players had a pretty good game. It was pretty good. We just didn't play well as a team. Individually, we played well. We had line breaks. We scored tries. I mean, the Iceman's try was good and powerful. And, you know, it was just individual little errors along the way that accumulated and, you know, killed us in the end. You know, Mitch did miss a couple of the conversions, but Luke Brooks did as well. So, you know, once again, you can't even use that as an excuse. So, and Mitch had a shot to win the game at the end. So it flew off to the right. I mean, we could have scraped away with it, but we didn't. And hopefully we learn from it. And I'm just sick of these lessons, to be honest with you. I mean, this is
how many times do we need to learn it? Yeah, that's right.
It's just, you know, this is the year that we have. I mean, everyone can see it. We're losing too many players to be competitive next year. We're not going to win it next year. Unless we buy Munster or something, you know, like he's gone up, or, you know, unless you buy some big players, but we've got the team this year to win it. We do have the team this year to win it. If all of our boys fire on the same day, we can beat anyone. It's just a matter of the coach getting us to a position where we all fire. So it's all going to come down to BA, and I don't think he's the man to win us a grand final.
No, clearly not. He's been with us since 2014, and we haven't won one yet. So again, I don't want to bag on the guy. I don't want to see him lose his job or anything like that. But facts are facts. Is that he's been at the helm now since 2014. We haven't won a grand final. And this is the year when we have the team, although at the moment injuries are proving that somewhat doubtful. But if we're making questionable decisions now, which we have a history of making questionable decisions and poor bench rotation, come the finals, those same problems are still going to be there unless it gets called out. So let's not talk about him losing his job. Let's talk about some way of perhaps starting a petition on all the fan sites about... This needs to be brought up by journalists. They need to be asking him, why are you doing this? This makes no sense. You need to be called out on this. And so that could be one of the strategies that we take here. Because, again, we're going to get to the end and it's just going to be dumb decision after dumb decision and head scratcher. Or the team just has an off day, as they tend to do. They do their Katy Perry it, mate. They're hot and cold.
Well, it's a valid point because no one ever asked him. And he was asked, like I said in the press conference, he was asked, and I was glad that they asked why he took Reid off. Because I think they must have thought, well, he must be injured. And he says, like, well, fresh legs. He wasn't injured.
Mm.
Why is everyone else an 80-minute player, but Reid's not an 80-minute player? But fresh legs. Well, why not bring fresh legs on earlier in the game? Why not bring fresh legs on in the forwards? Why not bring fresh legs on? You don't bring on another halfback and go, oh, fresh legs. Like, you don't take Mitch off. I mean, he needs to be asked. He needs to be asked these questions. So I'm glad that it has started at least. At least they asked him why. But, you know, when he had 16 players, you know, and a man sitting on the bench the whole game, no one asked him. No one said, well, how come you're not rotating? How come you've got Sean Lane out there exhausted, running around, barely moving, but you don't want to bring on fresh legs for Sean? Maybe that needs to be the petition. Hashtag, we'll start a hashtag, fresh legs for Sean. There we go. that might be the campaign, fresh legs for Sean. We'll get the poor guy, he doesn't want to play 80 minutes. I don't know if you saw pre-game, but they were in the Eels locker room and they had Sean Lane and he was meditating. He was sitting there with his eyes, perfectly still, meditating. I think he's just praying. I think he's just saying, please give me 80 minutes in these legs. Like, fresh legs for Sean, mate.
That's probably the way to go.
Yeah. Why take Reid Marnie off? Why take him off? Mm. He's fine. Mm. He's perfectly fit. He's 22 years old, for crying out loud. He's the heart of the team, running the team around. And you put Mitch Raine came on, and once again, this is his second game. The first thing he did was fresh legs, made a break through the middle with his fresh legs and lost the ball because of his fresh hands. Yeah, fresh legs, you don't want to have fresh hands. And he came running out, lost the ball, put us under pressure again. I mean, head scratcher. We need a head scratcher count. Sit back and watch the game again. Not that I could do that, but it'd be interesting to know how many head scratch moments there are.
If you're keen on starting your own podcast, then Buzzsprout is the platform for you. Podcasting allows you to engage in a topic that you are passionate about and find like-minded people who share your interests. We switched over to Buzzsprout from one of their competitors and it was the best decision we made. The analytics they provide are insightful, the platform gets your show out instantaneously, and they have an amazing library of tutorials which help make your show the best it can be. Buzzsprout is hands down the easiest and best way to launch, promote, and track your podcast. Your show can be online and listed in all the major podcast directories like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and more. So check out Buzzsprout today in our show links. Join over 100,000 podcasters already using Buzzsprout to get their message out to the world. Following the link in our show notes lets Buzzsprout know we sent you. And if you sign up for a paid plan, you get a $20 Amazon gift card. Buzzsprout, check it out.
Well, one more thing about this game I would like to point out was that I was a bit surprised. There were a few times when our players were held and the ref didn't call it. And it just went on and on and on, and our players got the offload. It happened twice. And I honestly, if I was a Tigers fan, I would have been dirty about that. It was ridiculous how long our players were just getting offloads because they weren't being called held. I didn't understand what was happening there.
I've never seen this ref before. I don't know where he came from. I don't think he had the best game, but it was a massive game to throw him into. And you're dead right. There was plenty of instances where we got the rub of the green with the calls.
Yeah.
And I would have been dirty if I was the Tigers fans with a lot of the calls as well. But, you know, there were... It leveled out. I mean, there was cases where they knocked on and we couldn't challenge, and I don't know. I don't think the ref decided the game though. I really think that it was 50-50 in the errors. If anything, we got the rub of the green for the whole match. So can't even claim that one, but I don't know. I don't know why we lose those games. As you said, it was a sold out crowd. They only sold tickets. This was their, you know, record breaking. We're only going to sell tickets to members game, you know, and it was. And then they opened up the ticket sales to everyone. And you got the old boys there. It's our 75th anniversary. It's sold out crowd. What else do you need to what other motivation do you need to get up for a game like that? And that might be the problem. Maybe they were too up for it. Maybe they just wanted to Everything had to be the miracle play. Everything had to be the highlight reel maneuvers. And instead of just doing the five hit ups, kicking goal, repeat set. But even that we did pretty well. We still got the repeat set. So I don't know. It'd be interesting to know the statistics. I'd like to know how many tackles we missed. I have a feeling it's going to be quite high. We seem to be missing a fair few. But then again, so did they. The game finished 20-20. I mean, you know, like, it's not like we got flogged or anything, but I think you could see that we were the better team and we should have won that game.
Mm.
And we didn't. So we've it's 2 points that's going to come to hurt us at the end of the year, I think.
Yeah. As you said, the old boys were there, though. I definitely saw Ray Price sitting there in the crowd.
Ray was there. Brett Kenny was there. Mick Cronin was there. But they had a lot of representatives, too, from other family members. So it went back even further. So even the old boys who have passed away, they had family members there representing them. Mm. So it was a big deal. Peter Sterling was there. Maybe Sterlo should have jumped up in the bloody coach's box and just kicked BA out for the day and stick some of the old boys in the coaching box and just to give him a few pointers. I don't know. Like, it might actually help him. So I don't. What other motivation do you need to get up for a win? So
And Ray Price is actually, he's not well at the moment, is he?
No, he's got skin cancer. So him and his wife both got skin cancer within a few months of each other. And he's not too healthy, old Ray. So I don't think that game's going to do anything good for his health either, watching that nonsense.
Although we could say, remember when we were speaking to Peter Wynn and he was saying him and the old boys, they still sort of pat themselves on the back that they were able to win all the premierships. So yeah. I wonder if deep down there's a little bit of, oh yeah, but we're still the best. So
you got to admit, if it was you and me, we'd be sitting there going, oh, these clowns, you know, we would never have let this game get away from us. We would have torn their heads off, run it in the corner and run off victorious. So There would be an element of that, you know, back in my day. I'm sure they'll be giving them plenty of stick afterwards, you know.
But
I don't know. It'd be a weird one sitting there knowing that the last game that you played in was the last grand final that Parramatta won. I mean, it's a very weird thing.
All right, well, it is Monday and we have another game this week. So turn around, 6 days, Sunday, we are playing the Knights in Newcastle. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what Knights team turns up because, like I said, we just watched Parramatta play a team into form. If any team's about to get played into form, it's the Knights. I mean, they had a loss. They're not playing well. They're a good win away from being a good team, though. I mean, they were in the top four until a couple of weeks ago. They have a lot of firepower. Once again, it's their home ground. We've got to go up to play in Newcastle. It's always hard to win up there, but we should be bouncing back. We should be walking away from this game. It should be hurting, and we should be wanting to go up there and stamp our authority all over the top of them, but it doesn't quite work out that way. I mean, I hope we don't turn up there thinking, oh, this is going to be an easy win as well, because we've seen how that turns out. But it's a game we should win, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. I have a theory with Newcastle because of all the disruption over Kalyn Ponga at the moment. So basically, they've withdrawn their offer to him. So normally when that happens, that means that they've got the shits behind closed doors and they've said, look, we want you to sign on. We're trying to build a team around you. And he's gone, well, hang on, I just want to get back to the Dolphins, see what they can throw around. And they've gone, you know what, fuck you. We're going to go throw the war chest at Munster because he's off contract. So we want to get him before the Dolphins do. So they've just pulled their contract from him. So I think that might disrupt them a fair bit. So it's going to be interesting to see how Ponga responds to all of the media attention that he's going to get. Yeah, hopefully that disrupts them enough so that we can just kind of run over the top of them. We'll see how it pans out.
Yeah, hopefully it doesn't fire Ponga up to make the Newcastle Knights jealous and want to throw money back at him. I mean, yes. Munster's a great player, and Munster's got it over Ponga in that Munster's there every week. Ponga's not. You know, he's often injured, so
he is very injury prone, and I'd much rather have Munster in the team, guiding the team around. We saw what he did this weekend, and it was It was, you know, I hate the Storm, but I'm a Munster fan. I love watching him play. He's just, it's incredible. I think he threw five dummies in one run, and every single person fell for it. And then he stuck his tongue out and dived over the try line. Yeah. I mean, you've got to pay it. Five dummies. It was five people he ran past, and his kicking game was on point. But you do have a point. I mean, this might fire Ponga up. He might go, all right, let's see. I'll show you what I've got. And he might put on the game of his career. Also got Origin coming up, so he's going to be wanting to look good for that. It's going to be interesting.
Well, obviously, not a lot of laughs this episode because we're both still hurting from the 21-20 loss to the Tigers. Congratulations to the Tigers, though. They earned it. They deserved that win. And hopefully we can turn things around this week against the Knights. They are my wife's team, and my wife, she only needed us to win today, so she got a perfect 8 from 8 footy tipping round. So naturally, of course, there was another thing that was against us because I had to hear that this is all my fault somehow.
Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me that you were going to lose this weekend? Dearie me.
Yeah. Mate, hopefully Sunday we'll have a lot to celebrate. And next week's show, there'll be a lot more laughs because, I think we're a little bit down at the moment.
We'll be in much better mood next week for sure.
Make sure when you're on Facebook, do check out the Parramatta's Facebook group. Now, send us an invite. We did talk about last week about putting a poll up as to who's going to get fired first, Trent from the Dogs or Madge from the Tigers. Now, everybody thus far who's voted, myself included, has said Madge. But this buys him a little bit of time, so who knows? Maybe now's the time to sneak in and tip Trent and see what happens there.
Yep. See if Trent from Punchy can hold on to his job. We'll see what happens down at Bulldog territory. I reckon he's gone. So my tip is my vote is for Trent.
Okay. All right. Well, you can also catch Bernie on the Teamless Tuesday video at the Parapit, which is on YouTube, and he does that with Jono. And you can catch me on the Dummy M podcast with T-Dog, where we talk about all the dumb stuff that happens in rugby league. And every week, as we say, mate, click go the Eels.
Click go the Eels.
The Parramatta's podcast, available on all major podcasting platforms.